Let us pray. Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, tell us what we need to hear today. Show us what we ought to do today to obey Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Got four scripture passages today, and they all have to do with the idea of mission trip. The first one is from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through the first part of verse 4. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and from your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord told him. Go from your country. And Abraham went. The second passage is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7 through verse 10. Moses is standing by the burning bush. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Go. I am sending you." The next passage comes from the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is standing on the mountain with his disciples just before he ascends into heaven. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples." Get a little idea of how they might have to do with mission? The last one's not so obvious. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 40. "That day when evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And then he said to the disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mission trip. Our kids leave today at 1:30. I've got chaperones already looking nervously at their watch and saying, "He didn't start his sermon until 9:45. Are we going to get any lunch before we get back up here?" We've got a group of over 40 coming from Puerto Rico in a couple of weeks. Mission trip is on our mind. What does it mean? What is a mission trip? The word mission in the dictionary has several meanings. A specific task with which a person or a group is charged. In other words, a pre-established and often self-imposed objective or purpose. Mission is purpose. What is your mission? What is your purpose? A mission is a body of persons sent to perform a service or carry on an activity. We sent a mission out to accomplish a task. Let's see this in the military all the time, don't we? The mission to attack the fortress. Mission to the moon. It's a ministry commissioned by a religious organization to propagate its faith or carry on humanitarian work. A great example of a mission is Zoe Ministry. And in fact, whenever these missions are set up in foreign countries, the place where they meet is frequently called the mission. We met at the mission. A calling, a strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. It's really the same as the first one, a purpose, but it's a purpose that has been given to us by the divine. And along with that, vocation. Mission is vocation, the work in which a person is regularly employed, now seen as a divine call to the religious life. In other words, what is your life mission, your vocation? What is it that you do all the time that accomplishes God's will. That's the mission part of mission trip. So what is a mission trip? A mission trip is a journey to fulfill a purpose. If you want to know what these slides are, this was a mission trip to Argentina in the upper left-hand corner. This is Greg Jinks in Africa with a well that was drilled in Zimbabwe. And this is Marshall Hobbs in the bottom underneath a house where he's just put in insulation in Murphy, North Carolina. A mission trip is a journey to fulfill a purpose. Now, I will tell you that in the past, there have been people in this church that were detractors to the mission trips that we take, whether adult or children. I have heard a gentleman say, well, you know, these mission trips the kids have been taking like to the Bahamas. Let's be realistic. It's just a field trip. It's an expensive airplane ride. That's all it is. They're not doing any good. We ought to be sending that money down to the Bahamas to the missionaries that are already there. We're not accomplishing anything by sending our kids. Or, yeah, I've heard people say, why are we going to New Orleans? We got poor people right here in Johnston County, right here in Clayton. Why do we need to go somewhere to accomplish God's will? Let's talk for a minute about what mission trips are supposed to accomplish. One thing they're supposed to accomplish is to help other people. We went to New Orleans to help people rebuild their homes and rebuild their lives. In Johnston County this week, they're going to be putting roofs on houses and painting houses and working in yards because people need help, and sometimes they can't help themselves. In the Bahamas, they taught Vacation Bible School because there were little children there who might not know about Jesus Christ unless somebody comes and tells them. We're helping others out. But there's a second reason we do it. Because it's true, somebody there could probably do it too. The second reason is when we go on mission trips, we come powerfully into the presence of Jesus Christ. I think about the mission trip last year into Clayton and the group from the southeastern United States who painted an old fellow's house. He didn't know anybody was coming. It was a complete surprise to him. And he said, weeping on his porch, I had no idea. Not I had no idea that somebody was coming to paint my house. He said, I had no idea that God still cared anything about me. That he sent somebody here to take care of my old house. In his eyes, that group of young people saw Jesus Christ. And you know what? When he looked out at them, who did he see standing on the porch of his house? The body of Christ, Jesus Christ. We go to help others, and in doing so, we sense the presence of the risen Christ. And sometimes it takes getting out of your box, your comfort zone, for that to happen. You got to go somewhere for it to happen because in your everyday life, you're so overwhelmed by the things going on around you. That's why we go on mission trips. Together, helping others and finding the presence of Christ. If we do this, it's possible that in our everyday life, we may start to do the same thing. In our work, in our church, at our schools, we may begin to see that in helping others, we encounter the presence of the risen Christ. And then our vocation, our calling, what we do every day becomes our mission. We're not Abraham and Sarah on a mission trip when God came to them and said, go, I'm sending you. Isn't that on a mission trip? What about Moses? Go and set the people free. It's a mission trip. Didn't Jesus send the disciples on a mission trip? I think he did. We've been on several mission trips at Christ Community. This summer, as we said, we're missioning right here in Johnston County, and we're having a group from Puerto Rico. In the past, where have we been? We've had adult mission trips to Argentina, to Mississippi, to our own coast with Hurricane Isabel. Debbie Rushline went to Armenia. Several people, Robert Montgomery, Kim Perez, Jim Eckelkamp, Amanda Eckelkamp, have gone to Africa with Zoe Ministries. We had a group go to Puerto Rico with our youth to the Bahamas, to Alabama, to Mississippi, to Louisiana, to Western North Carolina, to the Bahamas. We've done a lot of mission trips outside of our four walls in the last 11 years at this church. Here's a question I have, though. We go on mission trips, but is the church itself on a mission trip? Is it necessary to get in a van and go somewhere for you to be on a mission trip? Is the church on a mission trip right now? Is Christ's community on a mission trip every day? I defined mission trip as a journey to fulfill a purpose. Are you on a journey in life that fulfills a purpose? Are you living out a calling? Is your life becoming a vocation, a mission for God? I've started thinking about these trips that we take outside the four walls as sorties. If you don't know what that word is, you're going to learn it now. I learned it in the first Gulf War. A sortie is from the Middle French, and it means literally to go out, to leave. Now, we learned it in the Gulf War because it means a sudden issuing of troops from a defensive position against the enemy. It's an attack. It's a mission or attack by a single plane. Every flight they took off those aircraft carriers was called a sortie as they went into enemy territory. Synonyms, an expedition, a raid, an excursion. Isn't it awesome to think that we are sending our young people and their chaperones on a sortie today into enemy territory? Because they are, folks. That's what they're doing. They're on a mission, a spiritual warfare mission into enemy territory, into places where people are suffering and don't know Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting to think about Christ's community as a beautiful, big aircraft carrier loaded with all of the weapons of spiritual warfare that God has given us, prayer, scripture, and that we send our people out on sorties into enemy territory to do God's will. I love that metaphor. Think of our mission trips and our ministries as sorties. But the question is, what is the overall purpose of the ship, Christ's community? What's our mission? That's the group who went to Mississippi up in the upper left-hand corner. The guy with the facial hair in the front is me. David Perez in the middle in Argentina. Vacation Bible School, upper right corner, lower right corner, Hispanic ministry in the middle. That's the gentleman that I talked about. That group of youth gave him a Bible. He didn't have one. They signed all their names inside, and he broke into tears. A month later, I got a call from his son. He said, "My dad was closed off to us. We hadn't talked to him in years." His heart changed when those young people came and visited him, and he's now called us and reestablished connections with his family. You tell me that a mission trip is just a field trip, folks. Operation Christmas Child, lower left-hand corner. We do a lot of things here. Sometimes it feels like we're spread too thin. What is our purpose? What is our mission statement? We've revised it. Here's the process that we went through. We had a Sunday school class called Church Health 101. Raise your hands if you were in that Sunday school class. All the church leaders were invited to be a part of it. We had about 20 folks. We went through a process of looking at every element of our church, our worship, our hospitality, missions, and we evaluated how we were doing. And we came up with an appraisal, an assessment of where we were. We then met in March, and I had the group who met in March answer some important questions as well. Questions like, what one thing most attracted you to Christ's community and keeps you coming back? What one thing are you most proud of in our church? What one thing, if it were to change, might be enough to make you leave? What one thing would you add, drop, or change to make us a better church? We put all this information together and use that to modify our mission statement to bring us up to date with where God wants us to be now. Here is our mission: to reach the lost, feed the hungry, and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Why do we do all that stuff? For the transformation of the world. That's also been added to the United Methodist Church as a whole, their mission statement. Our new scripture is Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's interesting how that's evolved over time. The church's first key scripture was Jeremiah 29:13. And in that scripture, God talks about, I have plans for you. I have a purpose for you. I want to prosper you. That's just exactly what this church needed to hear when it got started, isn't it? God said, I got a plan for you, Christ community, and I'm not going to let you fail. I'm going to prosper you. Then we moved on to Romans 12, where Paul talks about having your mind be transformed and not conforming to the world. Going through a period of time as a church as we begin to settle in and not let the world come inside and take over and make us do things the way everybody else does them outside, to be Christian in our approaches. And now we're here. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, and here's the key line, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. To do everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know, folks, if we did that, we would avoid a lot of problems. Because I can't say to you in a meeting, you know what, you're an idiot in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can I? If we really do things in the name of the Lord Jesus and we take it seriously, our whole approach to what we're doing here, if we're Christ-focused, is going to change. That will keep us centered. Each part of this mission statement can be broken down, and we did it in what we call a vision statement. We want to know what it means to reach the lost. And what does it mean? It means we're going to invite and welcome all people. And we've got several ways we're going to do it. We're going to equip our members to witness and to invite and welcome. We're going to have some training at the end of this summer. It's called Just Walk Across the Room. It's everyday evangelism training, and you're all going to get it. Because every one of you has a story to tell about your Christian faith. And you ought to be able to tell anybody, this is why I go to Christ's community, and this is what Jesus means to me. That's witnessing. Everybody's going to be equipped to do that. We reach out to spiritual seekers through our concerts, through fairs, special worship services, community participation. You've already started thinking of things, haven't you? Missions through music, the Harvest Festival, special worship services like our healing service, reaching out to the community. We're going to have a great concert during the Puerto Rico mission trip on Saturday, July the 5th. Use our facilities and property to reach the unchurched. We opened our facility up to Matt Evans and Greater Heights United Methodist as they were getting started. They practiced here on Tuesday nights before they moved to the high school. Matt had access to our office and our office equipment, and he still does. Whatever help he needs, we want to provide it. We're making that same offer available to Gail Myers. Gail, we know you need space. We don't want you to have to pay for it right now. Come and use our classrooms. Use our sanctuary. We want to help you succeed because we're all in this together. We're all reaching the unchurched. Get the word out about the church through all available media. We know that we need to do a better job with electronic media. We're revising our website. A new website will be online this fall. We need to do more with things that we don't even think about doing. Text messaging. How about getting the word out about that church through text messaging and email? Make guests feel welcome both when they arrive and then after they leave. We do that through our friendship team, and they always need people to help. All you do is you take a cup out, knock on somebody's door, and say, thanks for coming to Christ's community. We'll see you again. These are the ways that we reach out and invite and welcome all people. That's what that part of our mission looks like. What does feeding the hungry mean? What does that look like? It means that we meet human needs here and around the world, not just physical hunger. We want to take at least one adult mission trip beyond the local area each year. We need to do better at that, don't we? How many people in here would like to go back to Argentina or go to Argentina? Raise your hand if you'd like to go to Argentina. Why don't we go to Argentina? Let's find a way to raise the money. Let's go to Argentina. That's where God is calling us to go. Make at least one major outreach effort to the world's children each year. What do we do every November? Operation Christmas Child. We're reaching children in our community through our New Beginnings ministry. We reach children in Africa through Zoe. Have the ability to respond quickly in times of humanitarian crisis. That's why we have a trailer and a pig cooker. This church raised the money, so now we've got a trailer and we can take tools anywhere we need to. We've got a pig cooker so that we can now cook pigs or chickens to raise money for tsunami relief like we did in December 2005. We borrowed the cookers then. We're ready in times of crisis. Help the needy through food and clothing collection and distribution. Operation Canning Hunger. Operation Brotherly Love, where we collected blankets and clothing for the homeless. Serving the helpless in our community with hands-on compassion, like our trips up to Moore Square to feed the homeless, like the work we do with military families. This is what it means to feed the hungry. I hope that I'm putting some hands and feet on our mission statement so that you understand what it is that God is calling us to do to be faithful. And folks, that mission statement, reaching the lost and feeding the hungry, it's all biblical. I'm going to make copies of it available to you, but you can see where the scriptures come from. Now, no, Jesus didn't have a sheet of paper that he handed everybody and said, this is my mission statement. He didn't have to. He had them right there in front of him, and he said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts puts flesh on that and says, this is what it looked like when they did it. This is where we get our basic ideas from for what we're supposed to do. That's feeding the hungry. What about making disciples of Jesus Christ? People who, as Bob put it, are not just involved, they're committed. They're willing to give up the bacon for Jesus Christ. Let's put it that way. We do it by worshiping God with all our heart. We have Bible-based, Christ-centered worship and discipleship in a variety of times, formats, and even languages. We have bilingual Bible studies, worship services. I try to preach messages that are grace-filled because I grew up with messages that were the opposite. I got tired of hearing every Sunday that I was going to go to hell that Sunday. Every Sunday, it was, you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And you know, after I did that, at some point, it was like, okay, I already did that. Now what? You know, I think most people know they're sinners. They don't need to be beaten over the head with it every Sunday. Don't you think? Most people know that they've screwed up. What they need to be taught is that they've been forgiven and set free to obey Jesus Christ. And they have His grace available at all times. Playing and singing inspiring music that invites the participation of all generations. Sharing our celebrations, concerns, and testimony. Do you know the churches that don't do that? They don't say, are there any prayer concerns? Are there any celebrations? There are churches that don't do that. You can fill out a slip of paper, but don't say it in the worship service. Don't you think if we stopped doing that here that it would take something away from our service? Recruiting members to develop and use their gifts in worship. We want to broaden participation in worship and get more laity and more youth involved. Next slide. How else do we worship God all our heart? We celebrate Holy Communion at our early service every Sunday. There are churches, and we do it at the second this service every month. There are churches, Methodist churches, that only have Holy Communion once a quarter. I can't imagine that. Holy Communion is very meaningful to me. I hope it is to you too. Creating a worship atmosphere that's informal but reverent, friendly, and invites participation. I think that's why a lot of people keep coming back. I don't have to wear my three-piece suit every Sunday. I don't have to act like I'm a stranger to everyone. People there are friendly to me. They make me feel like I belong. Training members in the devotional practices of prayer, fasting, and searching the Scriptures. As David said, we talked about fasting, didn't we? That's a no-no in some places. We had a five-week series of sermons on prayer. We were invited to pray for 40 hours and 40 days. And we're going to hear more about searching the Scriptures. We've got a Sunday dedicated in July to Bible study and in recognizing those who have gone through disciple. Next slide. How else do we make disciples? By loving one another as Christ loved us. By supporting each other through prayer, personal contact, and tangible assistance. How do we do that? We got two prayer meetings a week, folks. We need more people in them, but we pray for each other. We give meals to people when they need them. Culinary comforts. We have card writers who send cards to people who weren't expecting to have a word. And you know how much it means to someone who doesn't even know that a church is praying for them to get a card saying, we prayed for you at Christ Community. It can change a person's life. Caring for one another through a lay pastoral program, including visitation, contacting absent or inactive members, intercessory prayer. Our lay pastors are beginning to get into that area of visitation and contacting our inactive and absent members because I can't do it all. Offering a clear process for resolving differences and addressing grievances. We've got some things in place, but either we're spread thin. It's not clear sometimes where if you have a conflict, who do I need to go to? If I have a grievance or a complaint, is there somebody that I can talk to about it? What frequently happens is it all ends up on my desk. And in effect, people say, I want you to be the big daddy and spank him. He made me mad, preacher, go talk to him. My job is to say, have you talked to him yet? Because the biblical way is for the two of you to get together and resolve it. We're working on putting a process in place where we have a team of people who are not involved in the conflicts, who can be objective and bring people together and get them to reconcile with one another and reach some answers. We're working on it. Folks, we have conflict in this church. Anybody think we don't? You're never going to go to a church that doesn't have conflict. You know what you need for a conflict? All you need is two people. You're going to have conflict. Because all of us are redeemed sinners who are being transformed by Christ. We're still works in progress. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to hurt each other's feelings. We're going to see things differently, and that means we're going to butt heads. The important thing is, how do we deal with it? Do we deal with our conflicts in a way that brings us together and helps us to grow? Churches can grow through conflict. We can learn to love one another better through conflict. In my own personal life, some of the times when Anne Marie and I have grown the closest is right after we had a knockdown, drag-out argument. And after the argument, we realized how much we meant to each other and how important it was for us to mend fences. We can do that here at this church if we care enough. Gathering regularly to celebrate, share, and have fun. How else can we love one another? Well, we can live and grow responsibly in grace by having opportunities for intimate Christian community, small groups, Bible studies. Sometimes people won't open up unless they're in a small group. There are people who will never give a prayer concern in this larger group, but they might speak up if they were with 10 or 12 people. Offering ministries that teach our youth and children to love God and each other. We do a great job here with our kids and our youth. Vacation Bible School, Sunday School, Youth Group, Holy Ghost Winnie Rose, Preschool. Teaching our children from the very beginning that God loves them and they're called to love one another. equipping our members through helping them understand their spiritual gifts. We do it for every person in our discovery and confirmation class, and we're going to put an online spiritual gifts inventory as part of our website where you can go back and revise it and see what God might be calling you to do now. Developing a clear path to discipleship. We want to be able to hand every person a sheet of paper that says, here's how you become a member, here's how you get involved and get plugged in, and that's what. And then this is what you do next. A clear path. We don't have that right now. And sometimes people are not sure what they're supposed to do after they join the church. Offering spiritual retreat experiences, Emmaus, Chrysalis, men's retreats like Top Gun, women's retreats. We have Methodist camps in Eastern North Carolina that offer retreat experiences. Sometimes you just need to get away, folks, for 2 or 3 days, like Jesus did when he went out into the wilderness, to get away so you can focus, like I did for a month. We're going to lift that up. Living and growing responsibly in grace through strengthening our families by training in marriage and parenting. We need to do a better job at training Christian families. And training and encouraging members to practice biblical stewardship. We have Crown Ministries. We talk about sacrificial giving. And we need to offer some workshops on weekends. How many people would be interested in coming to a workshop to tell you how to better manage your mortgage expenses? Anybody besides me would like to know how to cut back on some of that? What about planning for your kids to go to college and your own retirement? Anybody interested? It's Christian to know how to manage your money so that it glorifies God. How else can we make disciples? By leading according to God's will. By training our leaders and putting them in positions that use their spiritual gifts. By making sure that they have training and they're all on the same page. By holding all of our leaders accountable so that we're accountable to one another. And then by providing clear communications. These are the ways in which we live out that mission statement of reaching the lost, feeding the hungry, and making disciples of Jesus Christ. I hope you understand better what it is that we mean when we say that every week. We have a number of plans on how we're going to improve and come closer to that mission and vision of who we are. The ministry action plans involve growing through conflict, through some of the things that I said, developing and supporting our lay leadership in our church by providing the training that they need, by holding them accountable, and also by letting people have a break every now and then. We do have people in our church right now who have served faithfully in leadership, but they've served for so long that they're just tired. Don't you think people deserve to get a break and let other people step in? I think so too. Making disciples of Christ by laying out that clear path, reaching new disciples. In 2 weeks, there's going to be a baseball tournament across the field, across the road from us. The Clayton Little League 9-10 District 6 tournament's going to be over there. Same weekend, the Puerto Ricans are here. Somebody in here has an opportunity to go across the street during that time and hand out bottles of water and brochures and tell people that Jesus loves them, because there's going to be thousands of people across that field. There are ways that we can reach new disciples. No coincidence, folks, we had an emphasis on prayer. That was one of our ministry objectives, to become a praying church. And I think we're on the way, and we're not going to let up on that, folks. We're going to continue to call people to prayer and to fasting in every situation. Now, we're on a mission trip. I think it's pretty clear that our church is on a mission trip, and I hope that you see that your life is a journey to fulfill a purpose that God has given you. What you must know is what the rules of the mission trip are, because if you don't know and understand these rules, you're going to have problems along the way. The first rule is that God does have a plan. He has a mission for each person and each church. If you don't believe that, I don't know why you're sitting in here. God has a plan and a purpose for you, a specific one, and for this church. Secondly, God invites us individually and as a people to accept that mission and make the trip with Him. We don't have to do it by ourselves, folks. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew? I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ is with us every step of the way. We're never alone in walking that path and running that marathon, as Bob put it. Now, if we accept the mission, then there are some things that are going to happen. Number one, we're going to succeed when we let God lead us. If we're willing to pray and to listen and to come together and let God lead us, we cannot fail. Let me say that again. If we are in God's will as a church, we cannot fail. That's the key, though, isn't it? If we haven't been listening, or we're not obeying, we might not be doing what God wants us to do. What happens when we don't do what God wants us to do? God steps back and says, okay, give it your best shot. Let's see how you can do without me. And He will let us fail miserably. But we will succeed when we let Him lead us. We fail when we try to do it our way without God's help. And sometimes we can tell if we failed, that we didn't do what God wanted us to do. The closer we are to success, the more resistance we will encounter. A lot of people just don't believe this, or they don't understand it. The quote in yellow, life is harder near the summit, is so true. When you're climbing a mountain, the closer you get to the top, the thinner the air gets and the worse the weather gets. Your objective gets harder and harder the further you go. By the way, that came out of a fortune cookie. Life is harder near the summit. It's true. The closer you are to success on God's terms, the closer you are to being who God wants you to be, all of a sudden now, guess who's got their scope trained on you and their assault rifle? Satan. Because now you're a threat to him. Before you're trying to be faithful, you're no threat to Satan. He'll leave you alone. Once you start trying to do what God wants you to do as an individual, as a church, now you're an enemy. And now things may get tough. You may have conflict. You may have financial problems. You may have unexpected things happen. The closer you get to success, the more resistance you will encounter. If you don't believe that, if you believe that the resistance is a sign that you're not good enough or your church is not good enough, then you haven't understood. Life is harder near the summit. Ultimate success is only possible through faith. First, you have to believe that Christ is with you always and that God has given you a mission. Through obedience, through listening to God, through prayer and Scripture, and walking the road He wants you to be on, and through perseverance. You simply have got to get tough and realize that sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes on that beautiful aircraft carrier, there's going to be a bad storm. The water's going to get rough. What do you do in a time like that? You better pull together, batten down the hatches, right? Ride out the storm. The worst thing you can do in a storm at sea, unless your ship really is going down, is get in a lifeboat. If you get in a lifeboat during a storm and your ship is not sinking, guess what's going to happen to you? You're probably going to be lost, aren't you? If we decline to accept God's mission and decide to do our own thing, God will correct us in any way that might get our attention. You need to see that as a potential threat. If you're not doing God's will, God loves you enough that He will do anything to get your attention. Anything. Broken legs in a car accident. Loss of a job. A broken relationship. God says, you know, if you've got to suffer some to get on the right path so that you don't lose your eternal soul, I'm going to do it. I'll do whatever it takes. That goes for individuals and churches. We've got to have discernment, folks. When we're having trouble, is it because Satan is throwing up obstacles, or is it because we're on the wrong path and God is disciplining us? But we need to understand that if we stay in God's will, we're going to succeed. Those are the rules of the mission trip. If you don't understand them on your individual journey or on the journey of this church, you're going to end up being unhappy. Here's some questions I have for you in closing. Are you on board the HMS Christ Community? HMS, His Majesty's ship. Are you on board? Secondly, are you going to pray and work hard when the seas get rough? Are you going to pray and are you going to work hard when the seas get rough? Or are you going to abandon ship? Are you going to decide you don't like it, you're seasick, it's too hard, it's got to be better somewhere else? There have to be ships on water where there never are storms. Does that sound realistic? Will you keep climbing to the top when the air gets thin and the storm starts to blow? Is it worth it to reach that summit? Or when the air gets thin and the storm starts, are you going to say, I can't do this? Are you going to go back to base camp? Are you going to give up and spend the rest of your life looking off in the distance at that peak and saying, I wish I had done that? Are you going to abandon ship? Are you going to turn back? Here's my fear. We're going to get to the end of this year, December 2008, at Christ Community. And I don't know whether we'll make our Acts 18:18 challenges or not. I pray that we will. We've already met two of them. If we don't meet them, it probably means that we didn't need to. That God said, you know, Van, that was a good thought, and I'm glad you offered your hair, but it was unnecessary because here's what I really wanted you to do. We're going to reach December 2008, and we're going to look back and see that we accomplished everything God wanted us to do and that He provided what we needed when we needed it. Let me give you an example, our youth mission trip that starts today. Last year, when finances were looking bad, we panicked. We said, we can't even go on a mission trip. It looks bad. And we certainly can't go anywhere outside Johnston County. We ended up raising enough money that we could have gone to New Orleans if we wanted to. Now, the truth of the matter is, I think God wants us to go to Johnston County, but we could have gone to New Orleans. we panicked. We're going to get to the end of the year and we're going to see that God gave us what we needed when we needed it, and we accomplished everything He wanted us to. And we're going to celebrate all the incredible things that happened in a time when money was tight and there was conflict in the church. And here's my fear and my grief. When we get to the end of the year and we get to December 2008 and we're right here and we're celebrating all that God has done, there are going to be people who aren't here because they abandoned ship. Because they turned back and went back down to base camp. Because when the going got tough, they got seasick. Or they started questioning, I don't think the guy running the ship knows what he's doing. I don't think the guy that's leading us up the mountain, the group that's leading us up the mountain, they're crazy. We're going to all die. There are going to be people who don't make the trip with us, and they're not going to be able to celebrate with us. And it breaks my heart to think of it, but it's the truth. And all I can pray is that when people abandon ship or go back to base camp, that God takes them and says, it's okay. I'm going to put you on a different journey now. You need a different path, but I still want to lead you where I want you to go. Pray for folks. We need to pray for our church that we're able to make this thing together and that we're stronger at the end of it. You know, the economy's not good right now, folks. It's affecting not just us, but every church. There's a storm financially. God is going to take us through that storm. We're going to make it. We're on that mission trip together. Is the journey worth it? Is the question you've got to ask yourself. And your individual walk with Christ and in your participation in this church, is the journey worth it? Am I just going to be involved or am I going to be committed? Are you ready? Are you ready for a mission trip? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing song today is Be Thou My Vision. Since we just looked at our vision statement, there'll be a couple of us up front if you need to come up for prayers. And after our closing song, I'm going to ask if all of our youth who are going on the mission trip and all the adults who are going to be with them, after the closing song, if you'll come up to the front so that the church can bless you. Let me invite you to stand now for Be Thou My Vision.